Turn to Jonah chapter 4. We want to try our best to finish the book of Jonah tonight. If you have your notes, if you turn from the back, go to number 19, page 19. What I'm trying to do with the notes is to keep them in those black notebooks, that's loose leaf, until I get enough to fill up one of the blue notebooks and then transfer them over. So we'll see what happens, see if that plan works or not. Jonah is a mess, to say the least. He has issues, there's no doubt. I have mentioned several things. He was sent, stubborn, seen, sleeping, summoned, swimming, saved, shaken, speaking. And beginning in verse 1, we see Jonah was sad. It's amazing why he was sad, but he was. I have wondered if Jonah really wished that this last chapter had never been written. The book would have been so much different had it just ended in chapter 3 with the people of Nineveh getting right. And it would have ended on a positive note. And as far as we would have known, Jonah handled it well and was glad that God used them. Most preachers would be. Most evangelists would be. Most prophets would be thrilled if God used him to reach people. But we find there's a chapter 4. I wonder how many people wish there'd never been a chapter 4 of their lives. That last failure or that one mess up that certainly seems to be where they cannot live down. Verse 1 says, but it displeased Jonah. Why was he displeased? Because Nineveh got right with the Lord. The word displeased doesn't just mean that he was mad, even though it does. It has the idea of be broken up. It tore him apart that the people of Nineveh got right. He should have been thrilled, but he's grieving about it. It means he's not only mad, but he's sad. It displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. The man was not just a little bit upset, he was exceedingly displeased. Now, it's easy to criticize him, and I will some tonight, but we need to look at our own selves. Here's something that God did that Jonah did not want him to do. And how often does God do things in a way that we don't like? That he did not give us what we desired, or it did not work out the way that we wanted to. Now, I surely hope we wouldn't go so far as to say, well, I just wish they'd just go on to hell. I'm certainly displeased, and I'm sure mad at God for saving someone. I hope we don't go that far, but we do at times wish that God had done things different, and we surely can get upset at him also. We are guilty ourselves. But I also have to look at Jonah and ask myself this question. What if God had me to go to the terrace? I've already mentioned this earlier in our study. What if he sent you to someone of a different race or a different social standing or a different religion or a different lifestyle? What if he sent you down to where the homeless are? We're quick, and I am tonight, to point out Jonah's flaw, and we should, but we also need to look at our own selves. We need to realize he is upset because God loves people. But if we love God, we're supposed to love the people that God loves. And he loves everybody. It's not always easy, but it's still right. And it says there that he was very angry. It means to blaze up. He is red hot. Why would he be so mad? I have three things, I think. One, because he thought that the Ninevites had gotten away with their sin. That's what forgiveness can appear to be, that someone has gotten away with their sin. But that's not exactly what forgiveness is. Mercy is, of course, dealing with sin, But it doesn't mean that people are just getting away with it. And these Ninevites, the Assyrians, again, were vile and ferocious and wicked people. And part of the ones that they hurt had been Jonah's people. So we can kind of understand the heartache and the anger of Jonah, even though it was still wrong. But he still is angry. I believe he was angry because he thought that the Ninevites had gotten away with their horrible deeds. I believe also another reason was because he thought that the Ninevites was horning in on God's blessings. The people of Israel were the promised people, the blessed people. They were the ones supposed to be getting the blessings from God. Who are these Ninevites, especially the Assyrians, who certainly do not deserve God's blessings? And yet, it appeared to Jonah that God was putting more attention on these other people than he wanted them to. Little did he realize, or at least he didn't care, that there's enough blessings to go around. God has a big blessing warehouse. And he can bless these people and those people and still have just as much blessings. I believe Jonah also was mad and upset because he thought, I told those people that God was going to judge them, and now he's not going to judge them, and they'll think I'm a false prophet. So it was a selfish reason, no doubt about it. I do believe, as I've said, that Jonah up to this point had been faithful. I have no indication whatsoever in Scripture, and as far as I can find in history, that Jonah was anything but a godly man and a good prophet before this. I believe this was the one issue that Jonah battled with. By the way, you have an issue. We have a weakness. We have something that God will probably have to deal with in our lives. But Jonah is a man who God is dealing with. I'm glad that God didn't give up on the Ninevites, but he didn't give up on Jonah either. And Jonah's trying to deal with this. He realized these people deserved to go to hell, and they did. But so did Jonah, and so do we. Verse 2. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Here we find finally, of course we already have talked about it because we knew this verse was here, we finally found out why in the world Jonah's been so upset. He says, I knew this was going to happen because I knew you was merciful. He comes right out and admits it. Once again, he's praying. He never did pray hardly in the right way through this book. When he called on the Lord, it was always either for a selfish reason or to complain, and this is no different here. He initiates the conversation, though, so at least that's one thing good that he did. And he finally admits what we knew all along, and God knew all along, why he had been doing what he had been doing, why he had run, why he had rebelled, and now why he's mad, because God has forgiven them. And he did not want them forgiven. He did not want them to escape. Kind of reminds me of the prodigal's elder brother. They got upset because the father was glad that his brother had come home. Jonah's not the only buzzard in the Bible, I'll tell you that. But he tries to explain, and he does explain, but he's not justified in what he did. Just because he had a reason and an excuse didn't mean that what he did was right. His attempt to explain was futile, and it was unjustifiable. An unjustifiable reason for what he did. He had no excuse to run from God, even though he thought he did, and neither do we. Jonah's view, listen, of God at least, was accurate. Notice what he says. He knew, I knew thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. I'm telling you, the man knew God. I don't think this comes from someone who's been walking a guilty distance for a long time. I believe this is a man who knew God and, to be honest, loved God. And he knew about the Lord and he knew what he was. And he knew that God was merciful and he knew him very well. That doesn't excuse him again, but it surely does explain. Look in verse 3. Therefore now, O Lord, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. He asked God to kill him again. This is the second time, if you will, that he asked God to kill him. The first time was on the ship, and he told the sailors, just throw me overboard and just let me perish. And now, once again, he's wanting to die. But this is different. Then he was in trouble in a storm, causing problems for people. But now he's wanting to die because he does not want to face the fact that God's going to forgive these people of Nineveh, or he has forgiven the people of Nineveh. He would rather die. I'm telling you, this man's in a mess. He doesn't want to see God bless them. I thought about the comparison of Jonah and Paul. Here, Jonah's saying, kill me. I don't want to see this bunch of heathens forgiven. And Paul is begging God, and he says, if it takes my life to save my brethren according to the flesh, Lord, I'll be willing to be accursed. I would be willing to go to hell if you'll save them. And Jonah is doing the exact opposite. Oh, there's so many that fail to love the lost, just like Jonah did. He did know that God, listen, was a God of love. Isn't that amazing? Most people want a God of love with no wrath. Don't get mad about sin now. Jonah, in this case, is wanting a God of wrath, but no love. It's amazing. I tell you again, Jonah was in a mess. He's not the first who wanted to die, or at least offered themselves. Moses said, if you're not going to forgive them, kill me too. And Elijah says that to go ahead and kill me under the juniper tree. But the attitude of Jonah was completely different than both of them. Again, he says, you're a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. Had he not been, Jonah would have been dead. Had he not been those things when Jonah said, kill me, he would have gone, poop, and Jonah would have been dead. So Jonah better be glad he was what he claimed to be and knew he was, that he was kind and merciful. By the way, I'm so glad that God doesn't always answer our requests. Jonah asked him to kill him. I'm so glad that he didn't. And I'm so glad there's sometimes he tells me no. Verse 4. Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? Now, God's just getting right down here where the shoe leather meets the road, where the right down to the nitty-gritty here. And I'll be honest, he's still being gentle. He's still causing Jonah to think and examine himself, considering the offense that Jonah did. God could have very rightly killed him, but he didn't. And he asked him, are you right to be angry? Jonah, take a good look inside. The question required an examination from Jonah. If he was to answer this question truthfully, he had to look a good look inside real deep and be honest. Jonah, you're mad, there's no doubt, but do you have a right to be mad? Do you have a right to be angry? He had to acknowledge his faults. He had to acknowledge his wrong. He had to search his motives and search his heart. And had he been truthful, he would have said, no, I do not have the right. But he's not going to say that. We need to realize God did have the right to ask this question. He is the master of the universe. He is God, God. He is very God. And he is the one who made us and sustains us. He saved us and he keeps us. And if he wants to ask us a question, he has every right to do so. He can do what he wants, when he wants, where he wants, with who he wants, because he is God. I ask you a question again. Why would anybody get mad at him? But we do too. Because he's doing something right. And again, I'll say before we respond too quickly, we need to look at ourselves. Now, if Jonah answered this question at this point, we don't know because it's not recorded. As far as we know, he didn't say a word. And then beginning in verse 5, we see that Jonah's not only sinned and stubborn and seen and sleeping and summoned and swimming and saved and shaken and speaking and sad, but now he is sitting. In verse 5, so Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadows till he might see what would become of the city. He went out of the city. This rebellious preacher was in a hurry to get out of the city. The word went out of the words, the phrase went out. It's one word in the Hebrew, and it has more to do than just leaving. He did more than just walk out of the city. It has the idea of escaping, of getting away. And here's what Jonah thought. Well, maybe still, somehow, God will judge this city. And if he does, I don't want to be in it when it happens. If fire and brimstone's coming down on this city, I don't want to be there when the storm comes. If God's going to strike him with lightning, I want to be away so I won't get struck myself. It has the idea of Jonah still hoping in his mind that God still is going to judge them. And if he does, he wants to be away from the city. He's still hoping somehow that God will judge them. He's hoping, well, maybe their repentance wasn't real. The whole city's turned from their sin and supposedly turned to God, thinking Jonah, but maybe it wasn't real and God will still have to judge them after all. Notice he went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. On the east side of that city there were hills. So he got up onto a hill where he could get a front row seat to see what was happening. In other words, if judgment was coming, he wanted to be close enough to see it and far enough away to escape it. This is a man with some issues. He wants to see these people when they go to hell. What a mess he was. He went on the east side and he built a booth. That's sort of like a lean-to made out of branches and leaves. In other words, if he's going to sit around and wait for these people to go to hell, he wants to be comfortable while he's doing it. He wants the umbrella over his head so the sun won't give him a sunburn. He sat on the east side of the city and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow. He sat down. Again, he wants to be comfortable. Undoubtedly, the 40 days have not run out. So he's still hoping maybe God's anger will come back. Maybe their repentance wasn't genuine. Maybe he's still going to judge them. So he sits down to know that it says, might see what would become of the city. Whatever's going to happen, he wants to see it. And I believe the longer he sat there, the more upset he got. Listen, he could have gone to the nearest city and gotten a bath and a change of clothes and had a good meal and gone to bed and had a good night's sleep. But he stays up on that hill looking, and he's so uncomfortable in the process because he's still hoping. Look at verse 6. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad for the gourd. I reckon you are, you old buzzard, you. Now there's some question about what kind of plant this gourd is. I don't care. I mean, I don't care if people can guess it or they can find out what kind it was. Fine, have at it. But I know this, it was an unusual plant. It was another one of those things that God prepared. That's what it says. He prepared a gourd, and he prepared the fish. This gourd, I know this, sprung up overnight. It must have had a little bit of an unusual preparation, an extra touch from God. And it grew over where Jonah was. So in other words, God prepared it, God directed. He was in charge of it. I believe it was a unique plant just for this. But whatever it was, it grew up. And God sent it, God made it, God designed it to help Jonah be a little more comfortable. It says there, to deliver him from his grief. That's talking about the discomfort of the heat. My, my, my. God sure is better to him than I would have been. And I'm glad he's better to me than I would have been too. I'm thankful for that. If anybody on earth did not deserve any mercy, it was surely Jonah. If anybody deserved to suffer in the sun, it was Jonah. But God had mercy and grew this gourd up in a hurry to help Jonah feel a little bit more comfortable. And it's amazing to me. Most of us would have just said, go ahead and suffer, you buzzard. I hope the sun fries you. But I sure am glad God's not like most of us. I'm thankful he's God. Says he was exceeding glad. You know what? This is the first time Jonah's been happy in the entire book. He hadn't smiled the whole time till now, and it's because there's a gourd giving him some shade. He's a selfish man at this time. The only thing that makes him happy is something he gets to comfort his own self. Listen, the happiness and the anger, they both come from a selfish heart. And that's Jonah at this point. He's glad for the gourd. But you know what? I find nowhere in this verse that he thanked the Lord for it. He's just happy he got some relief. But I don't see him say, thank you, Father, for giving me this gourd. I sure don't deserve it. So many times we consume his goodness and don't thank our Father. Verse 7, but God prepared a worm when the morning rose up the next day and it smote the gourd that it withered. He prepared something else. He's prepared a fish and he's prepared a gourd and now he's prepared a worm. And this must not have been a normal worm. We don't know for sure. But whatever kind of worm this was, it ate on the gourd and the gourd withered quickly. And now the shade that Jonah's enjoyed so much is gone. Verse 8. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement wind. He sure has prepared a lot of things. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished himself to die. Here's the third time the man wants to die in this book. And said, it's better for me to die than to live. Could have said again. He's got some issues. God prepared a vehement east wind. It is called a sirocco. It's a hot, scorching wind. It's like the sun being pushed in on top. Our fans today, on a hot day, it moves the air around, kind of cools you a little bit anyway. That's not what this is. The wind is so hot, the pushing in and the blowing of the wind makes you more uncomfortable. That's what Jonah's doing. And God's sending this. He's sending it. Shows you that God's in charge of nature. It's not Mother Nature, it's Father Nature, if you want to put it that way. So the wind drove that sea in the heat of the sun straight on Jonah. And I'm sure Jonah didn't like that so much. He said, I just want to die. Somebody is prone to complaining, by the way, doesn't have to have a big problem before they complain. It's astounding that he is so upset about this gourd. Listen, he's more concerned about shade than souls. He's more concerned about a plant than the people. He got upset because the plant was gone because he was uncomfortable. And I thought about this. Jonah couldn't keep the plant alive. When God sent something to make the plant die, you know what? It died. And I thought about God gave him the blessing, but then he took it away. The same God that gives us blessings can take those blessings away. And I say it so often, but I said again, one of the worst judgments we can have is when God withdraws, withholds his blessings from us. And then going to say it again. Jonah was sent, stubborn, seen, sleeping, summoned, swimming, saved, shaken, speaking, sad, sitting. And now we find him, lastly, Jonah was scolded, beginning in verse 9. God's about to rebuke him. He's about to address his attitude. He obeyed him as far as his preaching, but he did it for the wrong reason. He did it because it hurt too much not to. Verse 9, and God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? Again, he asked about his anger. And he said, I do well. He'd been a whole lot better just be quiet like he was, I guess, the first time. God said, do you do well to be angry for the gourd? Are you doing the right thing because you're mad about your shade being gone? And the dummy answered God and said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Oh, my. I could have said again, he's got some issues. This man's messed up. He said, yes, I've got a right to be angry. I do well to be angry. He thought he had the right. This man is terribly deceived. And we can get there to where we think we've got an excuse to act the way we do or think the way we do or do the way we do, that we think our excuse is justifiable and our actions and our attitudes are okay. We can explain it away, but God doesn't accept his excuse and he doesn't accept ours. And you know what? The last thing Jonah said was, I do well to be angry even unto death. He never uttered another word in the book. The man didn't end his story well in this book. I'm glad God didn't end it. Look at verse 10. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night, and should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? God compares the gourd with the people because Jonah's mad about the gourd being gone. And he's saying, you care more about a gourd than you do the people of Nineveh. So he compares the two. He deals with the labor involved with both. Jonah did absolutely nothing for the gourd. He didn't labor, he didn't dig, he didn't plant, he didn't add fertilizer, he did nothing. The gourd just grew up. He had no labor invested at all in the gourd, but God had worked for years on the people of Nineveh. He had created them. He had protected them even in their sin, and now he has gone to them and convicted them and forgiven them. God had much labor involved and invested in the people of Nineveh. God compares the labor involved with both, but he also compares the life involved with both. He said the gourd came up in a night and perished in a night. It was here, it was gone. It was temporary, but the people of Nineveh, they're forever souls. They're eternal souls. They're going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. Surely he ought to care more for them. He not only compared the labor and the life, but he compared the love between the two. Jonah was extremely happy about the gourd when it was there and extremely unhappy when it was gone. But God loved those people of Nineveh. He cared for them. He loved them. I said again, Jonah was self-absorbed, wrapped up in himself and his own desires. God called the city again a great city. And he talked about 60,000 that didn't know their right hand from their left. Probably that's talking about children. And I said before, it's about 600,000 people. And Jonah, God said, you're worried about one gourd more than all these people. Notice what he also says. And that even discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. God even included their livestock. He is a God who cares. Bottom line, God was right and Jonah was wrong. The book ends abruptly. That's the end. There's not another word. And probably had there been another word, it would have been worse. So let's conclude our thoughts about this book, Jonah, very quickly. It's not a fish story. It's a story about God's mercy. loving God, working patiently with wicked sinners and a wayward servant. It reveals the power of God. There are several miracles in this book. The storm that came up, the lots that were cast that pointed to Jonah, the sailors that were converted, the fish that came and swallowed Jonah. Then Jonah was alive for 3 days and three nights in the fish. The fact that God guided the fish to the land and spewed him out at the exact moment that he wanted. That he touched the hearts of the sailors. That he touched the hearts of the Ninevites. That he forgave wicked sinners. That he grew a gourd and killed a gourd. This book is full of miracles. And the best thing I can tell is everything, every person in the entire book obeyed God except for Jonah. The things and the people, every one of them, but Jonah didn't. God is the hero of this book. And he had a right to do what he did. He had a right, had he done it, to judge the Ninevites, but he had a right to forgive them. He's God. He had a right to deal with Jonah, and he had a right to kill him if he chose to, but he had a right also to let him live. We also are of the same dust that Jonah was. I thought, how much better would it have been if Jonah would have just said, Lord, I'm sorry. You're right. I don't know what happened to me. I don't have any explanation. You're right. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. But could I turn that to us? I wonder how many storms and gourds and worms and suns and battles that we face. And we just say, Lord, I'm sorry. It sure would be a whole lot easier on us. Well, we'll say good night to Jonah. Let's stand together. Thank you for listening.